From the Mercy One Studio.
Be Not Afraid is underwritten by Associated Ophthalmologists.
Now, hear the good news and be not afraid.
Good morning. Welcome to Be Not Afraid, Iowa Catholic Radio. Father PJ, good morning.
Good morning, Father.
Let us begin in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Strengthen in us, O Lord, the faith by which the blessed Apostle Bartholomew clung wholeheartedly to your Son, and grant that through the help of his prayers, your church may become for all the nations the sacrament of salvation. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. And the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Very interesting personality today, you know, Saint Bartholomew.
So Saint Bartholomew is, of course, famous for having been skinned alive. And one of my favorite statues anywhere is in the Lateran in Rome of Saint Bartholomew.
Okay,
and he's holding his skin, which is the way that he's usually shown in iconography.
Wow.
But the artist managed to capture the face that's in his face in the skin. So it's a little eerie, but it's beautiful. It's worth looking up. One of my favorite memories from my time in the Dominicans was a Halloween party where one of the brothers came as Saint Bartholomew, and what he had done to do this was he took pantyhose and he formed them to his face so that it would make like a mask, and then he carried the pantyhose around on his arm.
Wow,
he's now a professor at the Angelicum, so that's who's forming the smartest priests in the world.
it's very interesting how you describe that, but let's talking about a little bit San Bartholomew life. So we have some data about him.
Yeah, absolutely. So Bartholomew is one of the names associated with the apostle, also known as Nathaniel. So these are the same person. They're different names, and it's a somewhat complicated linguistic morphology to get how they're the same person. But I'm PJ and Patrick, right? So it's something more or less like that. After Pentecost, Bartholomew goes to India and then kind of works his way back up East Asia Minor and in what's now Turkey. And his travels, both in India and throughout Asia Minor, are really the root of the church's life in much of what became the eastern half of the empire.
Why we have some connections between the Gospel of Matthew and Saint Bartholomew himself.
Right. So Bartholomew has this connection to Saint Matthew because he appears to have traveled with an early copy of the Gospel of Matthew when he went east. Because the earliest extant copy, the earliest copy that we still have of the Gospel of Matthew written in Hebrew, was known to be in India by like the 3rd century. It's not around anymore, but we know that it did exist, and we've got testimony from credible people that saw it. And so there's this connection in as much as there were Jews scattered all over the eastern half of the empire. Some of the apostles deliberately went to Gentile communities, and others deliberately went to Jewish communities. And St. Thomas, of course, also went to the Far East. It looks like he sort of took the Gentiles that were living in India, and Bartholomew went to stay amongst the Jews that were that were living in trading posts on what would be like the western coast of what's now India.
For some of our listeners, could be the question is, okay, so this is Bartholomew Feast, but how I can incorporate San Bartholomew's life to improve my spiritual life and my testimony of life as a Christian? So first of all, how we can define currently the word apostle?
Right. Apostle is a word that has multiple meanings, right? In origin, it simply means one who is sent. And so in that way, the word has been used sort of loosely, but for Christians all throughout history who have gone places other than where they were from and done great things, right? So you have St. Patrick as the apostle to Ireland, but he's not from Ireland, he's from Britain, right? You have Cyril and Methodius who are the apostles to the Slavs. They're not Slovenian themselves, but they're sent to Eastern Europe. So you have apostle in that way. This is the sense in which Mary Magdalene is called the apostle to the apostles, because she's the first one sent by the risen Lord to go tell his brothers that he's risen from the dead. In a more general way, today, every Christian shares in the act of apostleship, in what we call the apostolate, whenever especially in the secular world, we engage our daily business, but we do so precisely as Christians.
And it's very eloquent how you describe that, because sometimes we looking like simple enclosedness faith, but we are allowed to share our faith as apostles, sent to the life to doing a special mission, you know?
Yeah, so there's always this tension, right, between wanting to keep an especially pure and wholesome and authentic Christian community and the desire to reach out and bring new people in. And necessarily, people that are newer to the faith, it takes a while for it to kind of take, right? And so you always have this kind of dynamic. You've got this tension with monastic communities in the world. You've got this tension in Protestant Christianity with groups, the Anabaptists, people like the Amish, right? So they live totally isolated, right? And the tradition is really going to press against that. It's going to say there's absolutely a need to have places that people can go that are specially dedicated to the living of the Christian life, but that the vocation of most Christians is to live in the world.
And also to proclaim the good news, not only in a, religious restricted way, through the family, through the work,
right,
at the school, and different scenarios as well. You know,
one of the things, especially when I do formation for the deacons and preaching, that I try and hit on is we limit preaching in our brains, in our imaginations, to the homily. Most preaching doesn't happen in the context of the liturgy, and that does is really special because it's directed to the people that are already in some way converted.
Wow.
The important preaching, the apostolic preaching, is that which brings in people who don't yet have the faith to help them encounter the Lord Jesus for the first time.
Iowa Catholic Radio, be not afraid.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio and Catholic Women Now provided in part by Permar Security, providing security solutions for homes and businesses since 1953. Permar Security is a Catholic-owned family business supplying security systems, access control systems, video surveillance, fire alarm systems, and video doorbells. All alarm systems are monitored out of their monitoring center located in the state of Iowa. Permar Security, 515-244-5660, permarsecurity.com.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio and Dowling Catholic Sports is provided in part by Ashworth Vision Clinic. With two licensed optometrists, Barbara Sheets, a Dowling graduate, and Dr. Craig Harper, the Ashworth Vision Clinic team provides complete eye exams, contact lenses, glasses, glaucoma testing, and pre- and post-operative care. Ashworth Vision Clinic is located at 60th and Ashworth in West Des Moines. 515-440-4610 or online, ashworthvision.com.
Thank you, Dental Associates, for underwriting Dowling Catholic Sports 365. With over 40 years' experience, Dental Associates is a group dental practice with the mission of promoting optimum health and well-being to all patients, providing preventative, restorative, and cosmetic dentistry for the entire family. Message underwritten by Dr. Kenton Gleichman, Dr. Steve Karbaka, and Dr. Ben Nagel. Dental Associates, addressing your smile, needs, and dreams. Online at DesMoines-DentalAssociates.com.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio and John Leonetti in the Morning is provided by Five Sons Naturescapes. Five Sons Naturescapes is a Catholic veteran-owned family company providing premium outdoor landscaping. Clean up and restore outdoor living space with retaining walls, privacy fencing, pergolas, paver sidewalks, and patios. Issues with soil settling and water around the foundation and yard? Five Sons Naturescapes can grade and install drainage tile to help. Five Sons Naturescapes online at fivesonsnaturescapes.com.
What is the best gift ever? Giving a Catholic education is at the top of my list. Your contribution to CTO helps families send their children to our Catholic schools who otherwise could not afford it. In giving to CTO, you receive the best tax credits ever. Pledge or donate online at ctoiowa.org. The bottom line, it's for the kids and their future.
Welcome back to Be Not Afraid, Iowa Catholic Radio. This is a very interesting week. Connection with San Bartolomeo the Apostle, we have another two very remarkable movie stars from heaven, you know? One is Saint Monica, mm-hmm. Saint Monica, the mother of Saint Augustine. How is the model of Santa Monica for the traditional and conventional mother today? Because many mothers have been in some troubles to lead, especially teenager.
I love Monica and Augustine as a pair, and I love the fact that they're kept on the calendar together. I get somewhat frustrated because I feel like their story gets told in a way that makes some mothers that are very problematic feel much better about themselves, when I'm pretty convinced that the reason for the pairing has more to do with the kids than for the mom. Here's what I mean. The story that you often hear, the kind of, you know, Reader's Digest homily that guys will give, right, is Monica was this very faithful woman. Maybe they'll say she was in a bad marriage. And her kid was kind of wild and crazy, and she prayed and 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 prayed, and then eventually Augustine meets Ambrose and comes to the faith. Well, that's true, kinda. But Monica was not an easy woman, and her holiness wasn't born simply of being like meek and long suffering.
And thank you for making that kind of comment. It's not an easy person. Sometimes we presume the saints are completely pure, immaculate, nothing related to bad behaviors or overreactions or certain particular temperament. I think this is a very remarkable point to set. It's human being.
The real beauty, I think, of Monica's life, and I don't get me wrong, I'm not like anti-Monica, but I think we need to see her the way she really is and not the way that we want to imagine her, right? So Monica was undoubtedly a holy pain in the butt to live with. There's no question. And very likely her husband was kind of nuts because of his wife. The husband was not a great guy and was probably semi-abusive. Augustine tells us some things about him that are really disedifying. But Monica, like a lot of people today, instead of sort of confronting the difficulties in her marriage head on, takes to the bottle. So she becomes a drunk. And this gets missed in most of the pious retellings, right? But Augustine himself calls her a wine bibber. So she was a wino, right? And she had to overcome her addiction to alcohol first, and it was in light of her experience of sort of asceticism and temperance that the faith grew even more in her. It's true that she prayed desperately for Augustine's conversion, but it's also true that, like a lot of mothers, she was overly involved in his life. The way that we often tell the story makes it sound like Augustine was sort of a frat boy and just like slept around a lot, and that's not the story that he tells about himself, and which was the only source for any of this stuff. It's instead that he's involved with a woman that his mother doesn't like. So in some ways, Augustine does exactly what kids today do when they're trying to get back at their mothers, is he goes to college and he moves in with a girl that he knows his mother will hate.
And it's very interesting how you describe that, because, Father, sometimes the current mothers arguing against children behavior.
Right.
But also their own behavior also shows certain weaknesses, not only in terms of mental, psychologically, also in terms of spirit, that this is why St. Monica is a very remarkable example for them to improve in.
Every time a parent oversteps in relationship with a child, every time a parent oversteps in relationship to a child, especially as the child is grown, right, it is a failure of faith in divine providence. We just don't believe that God will really take care of our kids the way that he says he will. And so we gotta have God's back. We gotta make sure that it gets taken care of, because God probably won't on his own, right? So then what happens, right, is like what happened with Monica. This relationship with the girl breaks down so bad, you know, Augustine clings to it even more fiercely, even though by now he knows it's a bad relationship and he probably shouldn't be in it. Because mom can't be right, right? Like, and every one of us has probably seen some version of this in our families or amongst our friends, where the parent might be correct, but the way that they've given the correction has made it impossible for the child to seed, especially as an adult. And so it winds up going very, very badly. Augustine gets the girl pregnant, then they have to separate. Then he's so depressed, he does fall rather immediately with another woman. He knows he's using her. That's a bad situation. He winds up, you know, with the child coming into the church under the tutelage of St. Ambrose, and Monica comes to be with him. And this is the great tragedy of Augustine's life, right, is that very shortly after his conversion, both Monica and his little son, Adeodatus, die.
Wow.
And so shortly after Augustine's own conversion, he loses the two most important people to him in the world. He, of course, is forced to bury Monica there in Italy and then travel back to North Africa. And Augustine refuses to weep when his mother dies, because he's afraid at the time that'll suggest he doesn't really believe in the resurrection. And he tells us years later, that was a great mistake. He should have permitted himself to weep at the death of his mother, not because he didn't believe in the resurrection, but because the pain of loss is real. And because he didn't grieve the way that he was supposed to, he says, he carried her with him and shed tears for her at the altar every day he served as a priest. Wow.
But that it's incredible how the Lord worked in mysterious ways, because also the life of St. Augustine wasn't easy before the conversion. Probably some kind of genius.
Yeah, there's no question. Augustine was the smartest guy in Europe at the time. I don't know any scholar that seriously disputes that, or at least the smartest one who left anything around for us to read. But what I think is important is that Augustine's insight around grief here speaks to everybody, right?
Wow.
So this tendency to have celebrations of life rather than genuinely mourn, this insistence that everything when somebody dies is all, you know, Easter, 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 without acknowledging the Good Friday the family is going through, it's inhuman and ultimately often very cruel.
San Agustin and San Monica, great inspiration for our current parents and children as well. Iowa Catholic Radio, be not afraid.
St. Vincent de Paul's assists those living in poverty to become self-sufficient. Learn more at svdpsm.org or call 515-282-8327. This message brought to you by Homemakers Furniture. Thank you, Big Red Q Quick Print, for underwriting the Sports Report. Family owned and operated since 1980, Big Red Q Quick Print is a full-service print shop ready to help you with all your printing needs with speed and accuracy. BigRedQ-Des Moines.com.
Thank you, Golden Rule Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling, for sponsoring my show, John Leonetti in the Morning on Iowa Catholic Radio. Golden Rule, servicing Des Moines for over 15 years. They obey the rules to live by, especially the Golden Rule. Online at goldenrulephc.com.
Are you a Catholic who wants to fall deeper in love with Christ and His Church? Do you want to learn more about how you fit into the greatest love story in the history of the world? Do you want to be strengthened in your understanding of our Church's teachings? Have you ever wondered how the Catechism can be a resource and an enrichment to your faith? If you answer yes to any of these questions, then the Catechetical Institute is for you. Find out more by visiting our website at faithjourneyci.com or call John at 515-237-5006.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio and Catholic Woman Now provided in part by Permar Security, a Catholic-owned family business providing security solutions for homes and businesses since 1953. Permar Security, 515-244-5660, permarsecurity.com. Support for Iowa Catholic Radio provided by the St. Vincent de Paul Golf Outing to fight food insecurity. Friday, September 17th, Copper Creek Golf Club in Pleasant Hill, 10 a.m. svdpdsm.org. That's svdpdsm.org.
Thank you, Ashworth Vision Clinic, for underwriting Dowling Catholic Sports 365 on Iowa Catholic Radio. Ashworth Vision Clinic online at ashworthvision.com. Ashworth Vision Clinic, 515-440-4610.
Welcome back to Be Not Afraid, Iowa Catholic Radio. Father, this coming Sunday, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 7, verses 1 to 8, 14 to 15, 21st to 23. It's very colloquially to talk about the life of the saints, the life of the human beings, and how, in certain ways, we are good to speak, but not to explore innerly
right.
How is our life. I want to result or highlight, better to say, this part from this gospel. Well, did Isaiah prophesy about you hypocrites? As it is written, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines human precepts. You disregard God's commandment, but cling to human tradition.
Right. So this is happening in a context where there's a dispute about tradition, specifically about what today we'd think about as keeping kosher, right? The cleaning of particular vessels. The reason this is significant, right, is because Jesus is sort of calling the question about the role of tradition in the life of the community of faith and the importance of interior adherence to the law before any sort of external observance. So it is, of course, possible. And we all know this from experience, but we don't always know how to, like, implement it in real life, right? We all know that it's possible to will the right thing but not be in a place where you can accomplish it, right? I want to go to Mass on Sunday, but there is a 10-foot snowstorm and I can't get out of my house, that kind of situation. But the question is sort of where the line is, right? And Jesus is trying to press here and say, the traditions are real and they've been handed on for a reason, but they don't exist for themselves. The traditions aren't for their own sake. It's not for the sake of the tradition. It's for the sake of the people who keep it.
Absolutely. But also, Father, it's certain invitation to this gospel more than feel guilty or any kind of discrepancies with the word of God, is to also offer an opportunity to convert ourselves, to open our heart to God, to say, I'm not perfect. Many weaknesses have been affecting my life. So another way that can show literally who am I is in the name of Jesus Christ. You know?
One of the things I try and do at least once a year is in the context of a homily, I'll actually have parents and or spouses, whoever's sitting with each other in the pews, turn and ask forgiveness from the person sitting next to them. And especially to have parents ask forgiveness from their children, even little children. Because everybody, right, parents lose their tempers with kids. Now, this isn't to say every time a parent makes a mistake, they need to grovel before their child. That's probably not helpful and can create unhealthy boundaries. I'm not suggesting that. But consistently, you know, when adults who leave the faith report back what they had big problems with, right, they'll talk about hypocrisy. And of course, on the inside, this gets really confusing because you're like, literally the first thing we do whenever we get together is say, I confess to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters. But if we only say it and don't mean it, if we don't live as though we're really conscious of our own unworthiness, our own continued sinfulness, our own inability to get our act together, then it gives the impression that the church is a place where people who think they're better than everybody else goes. We're churchy people, so we're okay. And all the non-churchy people are the not okay people. And that is, of course, the exact opposite of what we teach. But it is pretty often exactly what we communicate.
But at the same time, Father, back to my mind, the option about reconciliation, to reconcile myself to God as well. Back to my mind also the recently communication from Pope Francis when he said the parish is the hospital.
Right.
So we don't expect in holy people at
That's
the parish.
Right. No,
we don't expect in completely sane.
The church is a field hospital for sinners, not a museum for saints. And that's so desperately important. Like you don't get to decide people don't belong here because they're not as good as you. It's just not a thing. And I've thrown a lot more pious people out of church than I have poor unchurchy people.
And we deeply hope I recognize myself as ill person physically and spiritually, that we going to meet with a divine healing, a divine Lord at the church, and obviously the sacrifice of the Mass as well. It's very connected to St. Augustine and St. Monica, you know? That kind of conversion occurs when they face all your concerns, fragilities, in the name of Jesus Christ.
The mistake we make with Augustine is we mark his conversion and we think that after his conversion, he was just like a perfect person or something, right? And that, of course, is not how conversion works. And if you read a lot of Augustine, he doesn't seem to think that's how his life worked. And he understands he's still very broken and fragile right up until the end. And so I think keeping that alive and together, you know, we're doing a program this fall at Christ the King for parents on how to bring your kids back to church when adult children have fallen away. We're using Bishop Barron's new book on the subject. And, of course, anybody listening is welcome to come and attend. That's not limited to Christ the King people. But one of the first things there, right, is you got to admit to your kids, I might not have done this right. Either I wasn't practicing well when you were a kid, or I came on too strong, or it was too invested in my political beliefs, or I made it too much about me and not enough about you and the Lord.
Everything is possible for somebody that open completely your heart to God, you know?
That's exactly right.
Father, could you please send us your blessing?
I will. I'll also invite everyone listening to the Christ the King Parish Festival this weekend, Trivia Friday night, and then Kids Day all day Saturday. So please do come and see us out there, 7th Street Bash at Christ the King on Southwest 9th. May the passion of our Lord Jesus and the merits and prayers of the Blessed Virgin and St. Joseph and Monica and Augustine and all the saints grant that whatever good you do or suffering you endure, heal you your sins, help you grow each day in holiness, and bring you to everlasting life. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Be not afraid, Iowa Catholic Radio, Father PJ, Father Fabian Moncada.
Be not afraid. Jesus is on the way to encounter you.
Be not afraid is underwritten by Associated Ophthalmologists.